Hi, this is Paul. I was going to do a video about Carl Lentz right away today, but a whole bunch of new videos dropped, including Jordan Peterson's announcement about his new book, Beyond Order, 12 More Rules for Life. Now, in past videos, I've expressed my concern about the subtitle. And now, after having listened to the announcement and especially a little bit of the prologue of the book, I'm much more excited about the book. I mentioned August sounds like so long ago. COVID is just doing weird things to our sense of time. But I had seen the list that he'd put out of the 12 next rules, and they didn't inspire anything very positive in our local meetup. But I'm very excited after listening to what he had to say in this video. I really liked, let's jump into it. He looks okay. But this made me, the fact that he's finished the book, or at least is close to finishing the book, or he's finished the book because he's recording it, and that he's doing the audiobook himself, this all, just in terms of trying to get a sense of how he's doing, this is all good news. And so I'm very happy to see this. And let's listen to the video together.
I'd like to announce my new book, Beyond Order, 12 More Rules for Life, which I've been working on diligently for the past 3 years. As of today, the book is available for pre-order in the US, the UK, and Canada. I've linked to some major retailers, including international links for Amazon, in the video's description below. I've also included a link to the Beyond Order page on my website, jordanbpeterson.com, where links to book retailers in different countries will be posted as they become available. Beyond Order will also be published as an ebook and as an audiobook, which I have nearly finished recording.
And that's good, because I think I liked his audio recording of 12 Rules for Life. I think he actually does a nice job. And because so many of us are conditioned to listening to him on YouTube, it's nice to hear him read his own book. Generally speaking, I like when authors read their own books on audiobook. Not all authors do it well. I don't think I would do it well. But I'm glad he's doing this. And again, it says a lot about his capacity that he's able to do this. It's not a small job, I would imagine.
All formats will be released on Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021. I want to provide you with a sense of the book in addition to announcing its existence. So I thought I would read you a section from the overture, the introduction, which describes the book's contents in some detail. Beyond Order, 12 More Rules for Life.
It's a little ironic that they've got the David Brooks quote about Peterson, the most influential public intellectual in the Western world right now, under New York Times. How many other things hasn't the New York Times said about Jordan Peterson, which hasn't been, you know? So it's into all these publishers. And again, Beyond Order, that's a rather intriguing title. 12 More Rules for Life, and a little sequely, but let's keep going, because again, I've listened to this a couple times already, and I'm very excited about the book now.
Why Beyond Order? It is simple in some regard. Order is explored territory. We are in order when the actions we deem appropriate produce the results we aim at. We regard
A nice definition of order right there.
Such outcomes we deem appropriate produce the results we aim at. We regard such outcomes positively, indicating as they do, first, that we have moved closer to what we desire, and second, that our theory about how the world works remains acceptably accurate.
Very much a psychological definition of it. And boy, I'm just excited listening to this. This is new content from Jordan, and it's good content, and it's in continuation with what he's done before. But I'm really excited about this.
Nonetheless, all states of order, no matter how secure and comfortable, have their flaws. Are not.
And again, this is typical Jordan, and I think it's very balanced. That's exactly right. Order is good. All states have their flaws.
Knowledge of how to feel secure and comfortable have their flaws. Our knowledge of how to act in the world remains eternally incomplete, partly because of our profound ignorance of the vast unknown.
And a little bit Augustinian and Calvinist there. I mean, just recognizing the incompleteness, and this is sort of where I think cognitive science and my Calvinism come together.
Partly because of our will. Our knowledge of how to act in the world remains eternally incomplete, partly because of our profound ignorance of the vast unknown, partly because of our willful blindness, and partly because the world continues in its entropic manner to transform itself unexpectedly.
Now, I've never really talked a lot about Peterson's writing style. I still hold that he's a better speaker than a writer, especially when he was at his best. We'll see. You know, it's hard to... We don't know the future. We don't know what these medical setbacks have done. These could give him deeper wells of wisdom to draw from. We just don't know. But again, this video to me is a good sign that we might get some fresh stuff coming. So I'm really excited.
Furthermore, the order we strive to impose on the world can rigidify as a consequence of ill-advised attempts to eradicate from consideration all that is unknown. When such attempts go too far, totalitarianism threatens.
And here, I think a nice, you know, this is where he and Peugeot sort of come together. And what Jonathan Peugeot really did for me was give me a much better sense of the need for fringes, the assumption that hierarchies develop. And, you know, I got a sense of this when I was reading Charles Taylor before I stumbled onto any of these people. But I think Peugeot and Peterson sort of nicely lay it out. And for this reason, talk about how there's a certain resignation you need with the chaos in the world. And what happens in some institutions, in some religious communities, certainly in the church, when you try to banish this chaos, when you try to, in a sense, bring in the eschaton, nail it down, and put it under our control, this is when, you know, order becomes tyrannical and very dangerous.
Consequence of ill-advised attempts to eradicate from consideration all that is unknown. When such attempts go too far, totalitarianism threatens, driven by the desire to exercise full control where such control is not possible, even in principle. This means risking a dangerous restriction of all the psychological and social changes necessary to maintain adaptation to the ever-changing world. And so we find ourselves inescapably faced with the need to move beyond order into its opposite.
Now beyond, it's a very interesting use of a word, because on one hand, the word has the sense of, in sort of a Hegelian thesis, antithesis, synthesis, where you're getting to a further stage. That's very much sort of a progressive imaginary, or it can be a binary imaginary going back and forth and back and forth. And Peterson tends to much more be in the binary back and forth, rather than the beyond. But the title of the book is nicely ambivalent with respect to which, whether it's a binary imaginary or a progressivist imaginary. It's very interesting, the choice of the title.
Chaos. To the ever-changing world. And so we find ourselves inescapably faced with the need to move beyond order into its opposite, chaos. If order is where what we want makes itself known when we act in accordance with our hard-won wisdom, chaos is where what we do not expect or have remained blind to leaps forward from the potential that surrounds us.
Now, and I've probably not fully come to terms with any of this, but it gets into the question of the moral valence of chaos, and at least how the term and the concept is used by Peterson and to a certain degree Peugeot. You know, chaos isn't necessarily bad. Chaos has potential. Chaos has threat. And so again, in this imaginary, you've sort of got a binary order chaos mapped onto the lobes of the brain, all these ways. Again, it's fun to be revisiting this Petersonian stuff. We haven't really been dealing with it for a while, so his voice coming back is a welcome thing.
The fact that something has occurred many times in the past is no guarantee that it will continue to occur in the same manner. There exists eternally a domain beyond what we know and can predict.
That's the second use of eternally in his section here, and that's interesting because once you start using this word eternally, you're letting in a whole different space. And how do you regard that space? And this is where Peterson sort of teases and tempts the theists among us and makes the atheists nervous, because what in fact is eternity? Is there space for eternity? Or is eternity, in other words, a reality out there, or is it merely a theoretical construct as the opposite of the here and now and contextuality?
Chaos is anomaly, novelty, unpredictability, transformation, disruption, and all too often dissent, as what we have come to take for granted reveals itself as unreliable. Sometimes it manifests itself gently, revealing its mysteries in experience that makes us curious, compelled, and interested.
Nice, nice, nice imaginary, okay, gentle chaos. That's lovely, lovely, very nice.
This is particularly likely, although not inevitable, when we approach what we do not understand voluntarily with careful preparation and discipline.
Spirit of finesse, for those of you who've watched my channel.
Other times, the unexpected makes itself known terribly, suddenly, accidentally, so we are undone and fall apart and can only put ourselves back together with great difficulty.
And he's been experiencing that chaos for the last 9 months. So again, there is the possibility that what he has been through over the last couple of years can deepen and really inform what he brings to us. And I'm, you know, again, seeing this video, I'm optimistic that that might be the case. So very excited.
If at all. Neither the state of order nor the state of chaos is preferable intrinsically to the other. That is the wrong way to look at it. Nonetheless...
What camera are you using here? I think Julian? Is that Jordan's son? Jordan would always call in. Julian, you need to get Jordan a better camera. Get a Sony camera in front of him with a better lens. The Logitech 920C doesn't cut it anymore. We're going in and out of focus. He's not moving that much.
Neither the state of order nor the state of chaos is preferable intrinsically to the other. That is the wrong way to look at it. Nonetheless, in my previous book, 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos, I focused more on how the consequences of too much chaos might be remediated. We respond to sudden and unpredictable change by preparing physiologically and psychologically for the worst. And because only God himself knows what this worst might be.
Now, Peterson's use of God so often, if you go back over his videos, God, you know, God only knows. And but with his, you know, I'm back video, you know, God bless, and he mentioned some of these things. Where's Jordan going to, has Jordan's latest trip to the underworld changed him? Now, I think the conversation has moved on since the 2018 meetings with Sam Harris, where Sam Harris sort of backs him into a corner and gets him to declare almost certainly not to the resurrection. It's going to be very interesting to see, or is it more of the Jungian God? This is tantalizing stuff.
We must unpredictable change by preparing physiologically and psychologically for the worst. And because only God himself knows what this worst might be, we must in our ignorance prepare for all eventualities. And the problem with that continual preparation is that, in excess, it exhausts us. But that does not imply in any manner that chaos should be eliminated, an impossibility in any case, although what is unknown needs to be managed carefully, as my previous book repeatedly stressed. Whatever is not touched by the new stagnates, and it is certainly the case that a life without curiosity, that instinct pushing us out into the unknown, would be a much diminished form of existence. What is new is also what is exciting, compelling, and provocative, assuming that the rate at which it is introduced does not intolerably undermine and destabilize our state of being. Like 12 Rules for Life, the current volume provides an explication of rules drawn from a longer list of 42, originally published and popularized on the Q&A website Quora. Unlike my previous book, Beyond Order explores as its overarching theme how the dangers of too much security and control might be profitably avoided.
Now, this is Jonathan Peugeot and Rod Dreher just released a conversation that I haven't had a chance to watch yet. And that's really where, you know, just watched a little bit of it, and I haven't read Dreher's book yet, but the question that we're looking at is, okay, and I was just listening to Dugin, a treatment of Dugin too, because someone had posted a thing about Putin. Oh no, Paul's going over to the Russians. Clip that one out. What happened, Dugin made the point that what happened after the fall of the Soviet Union, that changed, and again, these changes will inevitably happen, that changed liberalism, Western liberalism as well. And so what we tend to see now are these utopian fantasies about bringing in the kingdom of God here by basically constraining order. But the 17th, 18th, 19th century liberalisms probably aren't going to cut it either. And so in the way forward, you have to figure out, again, the new mix, because after the defeat of communism and the Soviet Union, the world changed. How did it change? We don't know. It takes a long time to figure these things out and work these things through. So I see, at least from the introduction here, I see how this book fits into the current conversation well, even though Jordan's sort of been out of action in a substantive way for a year or so. So again, I'm looking forward to this.
My previous book, Beyond Order, explores as its overarching theme how the dangers of too much security and control might be profitably avoided. Because what we understand is insufficient, as we discover when things we are striving to control nonetheless go wrong around us, we need to keep one foot within order while stretching the other tentatively into the beyond. And so we are driven to explore and find the deepest of meanings in standing on the frontier, secure enough to keep our fear under control, but learning, constantly learning, as we face what we have not yet made peace with or adapted to.
Now, that's classic Peterson. You want to be right there in the middle between order and chaos. You want to be right there on the frontier, not afraid, but sobered. And that's Peterson.
It is this instinct of meaning, something far deeper than mere thought, that orients us properly in life so that we do not become overwhelmed by what is beyond us, or, equally dangerously, stultified and stunted by dated, too narrow, or too pridefully paraded systems of value and belief.
Okay, and that also is classic Peterson, where, in a sense, meaning for him is sort of a gyroscope within the iron box of secularism, and maybe, speaking psychologically, as he keeps saying, you can't see the stars, you you can't know enough, and so meaning is about the best human gyroscope you can. So if you use meaning to orient, it can help you avoid some of these common pitfalls. I'll play those pitfalls again.
Or equally dangerously, stultified and stunted by dated, too narrow, or too pridefully paraded systems of value and belief.
So that would be the, you know, when he talks to Brett Weinstein and Sam Harris, and when he critiques the religious side of things, he says these things get stultified, these things get old, they have to be refreshed. And this is where the chaos and order dynamics start to move together and you work through them.
What have I written about, more specifically? Rule one describes the relationship between stable, predictable social structures and individual psychological health, and makes the case that such structures need to be updated by creative people if they are to retain their vitality.
I've been using OBS, and so I have a little bit more capacity. I haven't done a lot of training myself to see what exactly I can do with it. But when he was making this, I was quite curious about how his articulation of the 12 rules that he gives here really match up well with the 12 rules that he had written before. So maybe as he goes through this, we'll... Now, these were released in January of 2019. Okay, so that's how long this book has been in development. But what was clear to me was that his articulation of them in this video was quite a bit more interesting to me than when I first read the list a while ago. So,
rule I create describes the relationship out systems of value and by dated, too narrow, or too. What have I written about more specifically?
Okay, so rule one, do not carelessly denigrate social institutions or creative achievement. So that was from January of 2019, and this is what he's got now.
Rule one describes the relationship between stable, predictable social structures and individual psychological health, and makes the case that such structures need to be updated by creative people if they are to retain their vitality.
It seems... you know, along the same lines, but again, quite a bit better developed, more interesting. So good. The next one, imagine who you could be and then aim single-mindedly at that. That again, that's very much in keeping with 12 Rules for Life, the first book.
Rule two analyzes a centuries-old alchemical image, relying on several stories, ancient and modern, to illuminate the nature and development of the integrated human personality.
Well, that's kind of interesting. So we'll have to see how that lines up with it. Again, I mean, and it's absolutely natural to have these things evolve along the way and change. So that's the process of creation. Rule three, let's see. Rule three, work as hard as you can. Work as hard as you possibly can. At least one thing and see what happens. It'll be interesting to see if Jordan Peterson has come to terms with his workaholism or this is still his main plan after what he's suffered over the last year.
Rule three warns of the dangers of avoiding the information vital to the continued rejuvenation of the psyche, signaled by the emergence of negative emotions such as pain, anxiety, and fear.
That looks like a wholesale change. Okay, rule four, do not hide unwanted things in the fog.
Rule four argues that the meaning that sustains people through difficult times is to be found not so much in happiness, which is fleeting, but in the voluntary adoption of mature responsibility for the self and others.
That's his responsibility theme. That's very different from four. Maybe as I read through these, we'll see that he's changed the order again. All that's possible. But again, what he's reading here, I'm much more interested in than this list that I saw over a year ago. Rule five, abandon ideology.
Rule five uses a single example drawn from my experience as a clinical psychologist to illustrate the personal and social necessity of attending to the dictates of conscience.
Again, totally different. Rule six, notice that opportunity lurks where responsibility has been abdicated. Now, I think rule four, he was just talking about responsibility.
Rule six describes the danger of attributing the cause of complex individual and social problems to single variables such as sex, class, or power.
So there's an IDW anti-woke social justice theme, which again is completely expected from him, but it's certainly not what we had from the previous rule. Rule seven, do not do things that you hate.
Rule seven outlines the crucial relationship between discipline striving in a single direction and forging of the individual character capable of resilience in the face of adversity.
So that sounds like the old rule three. All right. Rule eight, try to make one room in your house as beautiful as possible.
Rule eight focuses on the vital importance of aesthetic experience as a guide to what is true, good, and sustaining in the human world of experience.
That seems like that hasn't changed too much. Rule nine, if old memories still make you cry, write them down carefully and completely.
Rule nine makes the case that past experiences, whose current recall remains laden with pain and fear, can be stripped of their horror by voluntary verbal exploration and reconsideration.
So that one seems to have pretty much stayed the same. Rule 10, plan and work diligently to maintain the romance in your relationship. So a little bit of marital advice here.
Rule 10 notes the importance of explicit negotiation to maintenance of the goodwill, mutual regard, and heartfelt cooperation, without which no true romance can be sustained.
Negotiation has been a big theme for him in terms of marital relationships in a lot of his videos. So again, not surprising that that would come up, and that seems analogous. So it looks like his rules, some of them have changed quite a bit. Some of them have stayed more or less the same. Again, in the development of a book like this, this is exactly what you would expect. But I'm finding the changes that he has made in this as upgrades from what was at least laid out in January 2019. Rule 11, be grateful in spite of your suffering. I think this is coming in at 12.
Rule 11 opens by describing the world of human experience in a manner that explains what motivates three common but direly dangerous patterns of psychological response, delineates the catastrophic consequences of falling prey to any or all of them, and lays out an alternative route.
See, I think he moved these around, and I think that's a good ordering, because Rule 12, he says, do not allow yourself to become resentful, deceitful, or arrogant. Those might be the three things that he's talking about. So those wins up to Rule 11, and then here, Rule 12, which I think is a great way to end, which, of course, if you listen to any of my sermons, Misery, Deliverance, Gratitude, the basic structure of the Heidelberg Catechism, you know, notes the astounding importance of gratitude in a life of suffering. And I think he says this quite well coming up here.
Rule 12, finally, makes the case that thankfulness in the face of the inevitable tragedies of life should be regarded as a primary manifestation of the admirable moral courage required to continue our difficult march uphill.
So 11 became 12, which I think is a better order. So you take those three, make them 11, and again, I'm very pleased at this. You know, what goes into a book like this? He'll be writing it. There'll be an editor, and he'll be discussing it with his the publishers. But you know, again, from what we've seen in January 2019 to now, really important upgrades.
I hope that I am somewhat wiser in my explication of this second set of 12 rules than I was 4 years ago when I wrote about the first dozen.
And I think that's an excellent thing to say. And it says he's learned something. And thank you. Thank you for making those comments, because so often what we do with public figures is we make them into these static personas. And he's recognizing that, you know, things have changed in his life, and I think that's good and right.
Not least because of the informative feedback I received in the course of my efforts to formulate my ideas for audiences around the world, in person, on YouTube, and through my podcast and blog.
So it was able to learn through this process. Outstanding.
I hope, in consequence, that I have managed to clarify some of the issues that were perhaps left less than optimally developed in my previous work, as well as presenting much that is original. Finally, I hope that people find this book as helpful personally as they seem to have found the first set of 12 rules.
And this goes back to what I think is Jordan's main focus, which is the help of the individual. That is his main thing. And again, I've done a lot of talking about that and institutions and how this works together. That's Jordan's focus. And so he wants to see this have the same impact or perhaps greater impact or a continuing impact to what 12 Rules for Life did.
It has been a source of immense gratification that so many people have reported drawing strength from the thoughts and the stories I have had the privilege of bringing forth and sharing.
And you can hear the sincerity in his voice there. I appreciate that. And that's it.
That was the second half of the overture from Beyond Order, 12 More Rules for Life. Once again, the book in all its forms will be published March 2nd, 2021. Links for pre-sale are posted in the description below.
The original, if you go back, I think the original was supposed to come out January 2020. So, yeah, he's lost a year and a quarter with everything that's happened.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart for your interest in and support of my work.
Oh, little clever graphic. Cool. So there it is. Like I said, I'm very excited about this. I think this is going to be... I can move myself around now. I think this is going to be an upgrade. And let me get rid of this little window. I think this is going to be an upgrade. I'm excited about this. I will, of course, get it. I will, of course, read it. And I'm sure I will talk about it on this channel. So thanks for watching. And yeah, looking forward to this.